Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Social Services in this morning. We are going to talk about resource parents, and it is a topic that I am going to learn a lot about today. And as usual, Amy Swift, as you, Spotsylvania Social Services, you provide a lot of services. As I look this over and looked over the topic and what it is, again, it's something that you, social services involved in, really that helps the families, that helps families that a lot of us, I don't think, know that you do.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we thought it was a really important thing to come talk about today. Because these are the services we put in place before a CPS referral is ever made. And I don't think that a lot of people are aware of that, that everybody thinks that the CPS referral happens and then services come into play, but it's not how it works. I mean, sometimes it does, but we also have an entire team dedicated to preventing any children from coming into care.
That should give a lot of people a lot of hope and just an understanding of what your office does, that you don't just swoop in and do the things that I think that, you know, just a lot of things that a lot of people think that social services does. You're trying all along the way to repair damaged relationships.
Absolutely, absolutely. And ensure that there's, you know, resources in place for the families so that they don't have to ever leave or separate from their children.
Melanie Barrows here from Social Services. Melanie, I haven't seen you in a while. It's good to have you back in studio.
Good morning. It's good to be back. How are you?
I'm fine. It's always good to have your smiling face here. This really is a topic, I think, this morning that will be an eye-opener to a lot of us, that these kinds of services, these kinds of things are happening in the community.
Yeah, and I think, to Amy's point, you know, I think a lot of times people don't know all that social services do, all that we provide, and we're really here to help support the community before things get to a point where we have to separate children. And so we try to, you know, this opportunity for us to be on this show today to really talk about all that we do so people know that we're here to support.
You all brought a couple of people involved with this program. I'll let you introduce them, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so we have Jackie Avery. She is our supervisor of our foster care RAF team, and we'll talk a little bit about RAF in a second and in terms of the resource parents. And then we have Ms. Felicia Taylor, and she is our supervisor of our in-home services unit.
Felicia, we'll start with you. Welcome. Thanks for getting up early this morning and coming to South Stafford. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
So, how did you get involved with social services in this particular program?
Well, my history with social services in general is 23 years. I started in clerical, and then I worked in benefits, and then when the prevention unit began to form at Spotsy DSS, that's when I made the decision that was really where I want to be, really where my passion is. Because prevention is about engaging families before they're at risk, or working with them through their strengths and needs while they're at risk, to help families maintain their children in the home in a safe way. Working with those families, and sometimes we really become part of their family because we don't have a time frame of how long we work with them.
Oh, okay.
So we really do become a part of their life and get to enjoy learning about them, meeting them where they are, but maintaining the children in the home in a safe situation.
It's interesting that just your background, that you've kind of seen it all, and you, after having worked in a few different areas, you saw this was an area that you wanted to be involved with.
This is the area I believe the strongest in. Yeah, I believe everything that we do as a department is good, but this area is where my heart just sings.
Jackie, welcome to you to the show this morning. How did you get involved with social services in this area of social services?
Yeah, so I've been in social services for over 15 years, and I started because I wanted to give kids a voice. And then that landed me into working with the resource parents and showing them how to give kids a voice.
Interesting. You both have this is a place you want to be in. You want to be helping. And I'm sure at times it's really you're heartened by how it works, and other times probably you just have great sadness with what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have. You know, I think the best part or the best days that I have is when we see resource parents bridging the gap with our biological families. And our kids end up with a natural support for the rest of their lives. Mm. And that's just a really cool thing to see.
We're going to take a quick break and come back and jump into just exactly what resource parenting is and the role that Spotsylvania Social Services plays in all of this, and just what the community needs to know about all of this. Quick break. We'll be back and continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Social Services here this morning as we talk about resource parenting. Amy Swift is here, Melanie Barrow is here, Felicia Taylor, and Jackie Avery from Spotsylvania Social Services. Thanks for getting up and coming in talking about this subject. So, Amy, I guess I'll start off with you about talk about the program and how it works and who you're looking for and just that kind of thing, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So, Jackie runs the RAF team, and that's where we recruit and train. They call them resource families now, but people will most commonly hear foster families. Mm-hmm. And how many do we have right now?
We have 36.
We have 36. And one of our biggest needs is for our older children that are coming into care. They often have a lot of complex mental health needs, and they're sometimes harder to find homes that will take them. And so we do a lot of recruitment looking for families that will be able and willing to take older children. And you can talk a little bit about that if you want.
Yeah, so we are looking for motivated families who want to serve the community and have a passion for providing the kids a voice. And also reunification with family. That's our ultimate goal, is reunification.
Is it harder to get foster families for older kids? You often hear that. Do you see that day to day with what you do?
It is. It's really difficult. And like Amy said, it's because of the complex nature that comes with.
Yeah.
And so we're really trying to focus our attention on getting resource parents that will keep kids, the teenagers, in our community.
Boy, and that's what a need that teenagers and what an important time that is and how important this is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So talk about some of the if I decide that I really want to get involved with this, let's talk about just some of the training that you provide.
Yeah, so there's pre-service training. They take it's a 5-week course that goes over child development as well as trauma-informed care. And then once you become a foster parent, we have about 2 trainings every month that you can attend that range anywhere from knowledge about substance abuse, trauma-informed care, as well as we do dive upon the child development a little bit more as well.
For the person that is a foster parent, when you run into situations, how does that work? If I run into a situation and it's 10 o'clock at night, I'm sure you have something in place to be able to guide a person?
Yeah, so we provide our foster parents with a lot of supports. During the day, we have our RAF team, which is our Resource Adoptive Foster Families team, and they're there to support the families specifically. And then we have the social worker, who's working the case of the biological family, so that's an avenue. And then after hours, we have an on-call worker.
So, boy, there is a lot to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to all of this. And like you said, you got 36 foster families. Mm-hmm. Are you looking for more?
We are definitely looking for more.
That's what I wondered. and just how heartbreaking that must be at times to have the need but not have the families.
It is, and especially because then we have to place the kids outside of their community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we currently have, I think, in the 70s. 79 kids in care and only 36 homes.
Wow, so only about half.
Right. And we, you know, in an ideal world, we would want to have all of our children in our RAFT homes instead of having to go and seek other placements in other localities.
So how far, when we talk about other localities, boy, that must be difficult for the kids and the families.
Mm-hmm. It does. It makes it very difficult, especially to put together visitations. Mm-hmm. That makes it challenging.
Boy, and again, we'll talk about this and give this as we go along probably a number of times. If someone hears this and thinks, I might want to do that, who should they contact?
Yeah, so they can go onto the Spotsylvania, Virginia website and go to social services and click register here to become a foster parent, or they can call our main line at 540-507-7898 and ask to speak with a training specialist.
So let's talk about the training. If I decide I want to do this, what's the process? What are some of the things that I need to have to become a foster parent?
Yeah. So you're single or married is what we're looking for. Okay. Of any background. You have to pass a background check. You have to complete the 5-week training, and then it's 10 hours per year after that you have to complete. And you have to be able to provide references so we can check those.
Okay. And you said what? It's about the training itself, from start to finish, it's not all that long.
It's not. It's 5 weeks.
Yeah, 5 weeks. That was in my mind. I wasn't sure if that's what you were talking about. But boy, and I guess ultimately the whole goal here is reunification, right, or for families to be able to come back together.
Mm-hmm. And that's got to be hard sometimes when you're a foster parent and you're caring for a child. And especially if you have them long term, you develop relationships with them. And then there comes a time that they need to go back to their homes.
Yeah.
And that's a hard transition. And that's why foster parenting isn't for everybody. And it's a hard job to do. And it's like having a broken heart over and over again. And so it takes special people to be our resource families.
Boy, it is. And I guess I'm guessing that when a person becomes in the course of a year or in the course of a few years, you can have be fostered to a number of kids.
Yeah, because ideally we want to have the children out of their home the least amount of time possible, because we want to be able to get in there, help, you know, create stable home for them and so that they're safe, and get them back home. So ideally, you want them to be in and out. You don't want them to be in foster care long.
Yeah. Interesting, because a lot of times I think in my mind, you're thinking, oh, you're in foster care, and that's going to be a long-term thing, but it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. It all depends on the family and how quickly they work the plan.
Mm-hmm. So how does this work? When do families come? Do families come to you? Or you get involved in a situation, or you're referred, and all of a sudden, how does it all get started?
So both. Sometimes we get children through the court system.
Okay.
Some parents are doing relief of custodies of their children, and they are coming into foster care. Sometimes we get children through child protective service investigations that we find there is reason to believe there's abuse and neglect, and so we get children through a variety of ways.
Okay. And then it just goes from there. But that's so interesting when you talk about making it short, because in my mind, this is always, you know, mm-hmm. 4, 6, 8, 10 months or longer, yeah. kind of thing. And I guess it can be. I mean, every situation obviously is different.
Yeah, it can be. And I would probably say more often than not it is, because we're dealing with a lot of substance abuse and mental health issues with families, which are taking long-term solutions. So more often than not, it probably is longer.
Yeah, but still, if that is the goal, and if everybody's motivated to try to make this work, it can be shorter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and Jackie, you talked about it. I mean, sometimes there are just some really serious when you're dealing with substance abuse or mental issues, and these are tough issues, and. Does take a special person to be a foster parent to be able to step into these situations.
It does. I mean, we are asking our resource parents to take these kids in and provide nurturance and a safe home and guidance. And we're asking you to love them like they're your own. And then we're asking you to give them back when it's yeah. safely possible. We're asking to give them back. So that takes a toll on them.
Yeah, well, just like Amy mentioned about how you can't. I know people who've done this and get incredibly close to these kids, mm-hmm. and ultimately seeing the reunification, I think would makes that much easier.
And I also think too, if the biological family is open to it, the resource families can stay connected. And so that's just another connection that the families have for support. And sometimes that happens, sometimes that doesn't. It just depends on where the biological family is at the time of reunification. Because you have to think, when something like this happens, we're coming into their world when things are just not in a good place. And sometimes having connections to social services, that's just another reminder of what I've done in my life, right? Mm-hmm. But other times, our resource parents are amazing. And there are times where the families connect, and that is just another support system for that biological family.
No,
and child,
and that's what's exciting about this. When you can see the changes, you can help a family figure it out, and to be able to do this. I mean, this is Jackie. This is obviously something. The community needs. You need these resource parents. That's the bottom line. That's why we're here talking about it today. That the program's here, and there is such a need. And for when we talk about the numbers, when you've got just about half the resource parents that you need,
we do. It's we need every community member possible to be able to help us care for the kids and keep the community safe.
Yep. And if you think about keeping the children in their community, you're still fostering relationships. When we have to move them away from their community, they're away from their schools sometimes, they're away from their friends. And so if the more resource parents we have in our area, the more our children stay connected and bond with their community.
This is just a whole nother kind of level of what, you know, with social services. Again, we always talk about this, Amy, that it's not, you know, you really are there. The ultimate goal of all of you is, in whatever we talk about, just to make it work.
Yep. And that's part of why, you know, we appreciate you letting us come here, because we want to get it out to the public that we are here as a support to the community. And, you know, we know there's that stigma of being a threat, and that, you know, we snatch babies and that's all we do. But we that's one piece of, you know, child protection and foster care, but it's all support to the families, to wrap around everything we can think of to make sure that they're successful and that their children are safe.
Mm. And again, the number, if someone does want to get involved, Jackie, you said it was
507-7898. Yep.
And that will get the ball rolling.
Yes. Yep. And ask to speak with a training specialist.
Well, this is the needs are certainly there on all of this, and you know, like you say, it's you're not saying it's going to be. This is one of those situations. It's never going to be easy, mm-hmm. but boy, you can definitely see. How exciting is it when you see, you know, kind of the lights go on, and you know, and you see families or even kids getting involved, and you know, understanding what they need to do.
Oh, it's super cool to be able to have resource parents that want to give back to the community, but then to see the progression of working towards reunification and then that natural support that Melanie spoke about. I mean, we have families that our resource parents will babysit for the kids, or they'll attend birthdays. If our children age out at 18, they'll go back to have a holiday with them. So it's really, really cool to see our resource parents helping the community.
Well, you talk about doing something to get the connection to the community and where you can really see things. Melanie, this is something where you can really have an impact.
And I think families, that are interested in being resource parents, they have a heart to serve, right?
Yeah.
And it's all about service. And I think when you get in it, you don't know what you're getting into until you actually get into it, but you have the support there. And then you have the support of other resource families. And so that is also good because you have another person who's in it with you, and you're connecting about issues, concerns, how to celebrate, how to connect. And then you have our staff as well, and our team to be able to provide support. So it to me, it's a community supporting a community.
Oh, it is. And again, you're not doing this alone,
right?
Because I think that when you first think about this, you're just like, oh my goodness, well, how am I gonna deal with this situation? But like you say, there's either people with social services or other resource families involved.
Yeah, we've even had teachers or coaches, contact us and say, I know this child's in foster care. I want to become a foster parent to foster this child.
Huh.
And so, I mean, we've seen people come from all different walks.
So anybody can do this.
Anybody who can pass the background check.
Yes.
I don't want to say anybody, but anybody who's interested can certainly contact us, and we would love to talk to them.
Yeah. No. And the fact that there is such a need right now, and you think of so many of these kids that are out of the community, mm-hmm. to be able to bring them closer and to be able to be able to get the care that they need.
Yeah.
540-507-7898. And you said asked to talk to a
training specialist.
Training specialist, and get the ball rolling on that trauma informed care. You talk trauma informed child centered care. You talked a little bit about that, Jackie. What is that?
Yeah, so that's focusing on stability and healing, and it's understanding and meeting the kids where they're at and not going so far beyond where they can register what you're saying to them as well as caring for them.
Okay, and that's the whole, that's, the families, you get training for that.
Yes. Yep, through that 5-week course, and then again, we offer trainings on trauma-informed care monthly.
Take a quick break and continue on this morning. Amy, Melanie, Felicia, and Jackie here this morning from Spotsylvania Social Services as we talk about resource parents and foster care, what is going on in Spotsylvania, and how you can get involved. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Jackie Avery, Felicia Taylor, Melanie Barrow, and Amy Swift here this morning from Spotsylvania Social Services as we talk about resource parents, foster parents is what we're talking about, and the foster care program in Spotsylvania County. Felicia Taylor is part of the prevention team supervisor, and we talked right at the start of the show and talked about how this was one of the things, one of your passions about prevention. And as we talk about all of this, Felicia, that's, you're just chomping to talk about, one of the ways as we talk about, how to make it shorter or how to bring families back together is is prevention.
Yes. Our role as the prevention unit is to actually stand in the gap in between a family who has had some sort of child protective service need, where there's a concern for the child's safety, concern of neglect or abuse, and to work with the family and keep the child in the home in a safe manner, so that that child does not end up in foster care. We work with families in so many ways. We have so many avenues. We can think outside of the box. We meet the families where they are. We get to engage in the families to understand what their strengths are. How can we utilize their strengths to help them overcome their barriers, the needs that the family has? There are several different types of prevention cases. So we have one that's called an in-home prevention case. And that's a case that comes to us directly from CPS due to us having received a concern and there being an investigation or an assessment. Mm-hmm. And the family being assessed at the end as having a high risk of future abuse or neglect. An additional one is a parent child safety placement program. And that's where the family agrees, they have an understanding that in order for the child to remain safe, the child needs to be out of the home or out of mom and dad's care for a period of time while they're getting services. But we don't want to place the child in foster care because they have a family member who's willing to step forward and care for the child. So that's an additional type of case. So we work with the family, we're working with the children, we're working with the relative, we're working with the family itself. Then we have family support cases. Family support cases come to us where a family can contact us and say, you know, we just need assistance getting resources. We're having trouble with connecting with a mental health provider for a child.
Okay.
So we help families through that. And then we have our on notices where the court contacts us and says that we have a family that we're concerned about and we want to place the department on notice to work with this family to help the family address whatever needs the child has and the family has. And then another piece of prevention that has been developing over the last couple years that we're really enjoying actually is sometimes the department will get a concern about a family, but it does not meet the requirements of abuse or neglect. So the prevention unit will call them and say, you know, hey, we got a call. How are you doing? How's your family? Is there something you need? Is there something we can help with? One of the main contacts that we get is sometimes you have children who have been born exposed to substance, mm-hmm. But they're not meeting that abuse or neglect criteria. So we call them and we talk to them about safe sleep. We talk to them about, do they have bedding for their child? And sometimes it's us going out to the home and just delivering resources. So we have multiple layers of cases that we work and work with the families that way.
Well, everything is so different.
Yes.
And you got to know who to call in and in what kind of plan you need.
Yes. We have to get to know the family. We have to look at each family exactly as they are.
Yeah.
Because you could have two families in your caseload that have the exact same situation. But that doesn't mean that the family is in the exact same place. It doesn't mean that the family has the exact same needs. So we have to really spend time with them, getting to know them, what their needs are. And we do that through multiple avenues. One of the things that we work with families to do within the first 30 days of an in-home case is to have what's called a family partnership meeting, where we sit down with them and we draw in other people. We draw in educational providers. We draw in family. And we have an open table where we just talk about, where are you at? What are your needs? What are your strengths? Because a lot of times families don't know how to use their strengths to come out of the barrier. And that's one of the things that we try to work with them through.
That's so interesting because like you say, sometimes they just don't have the tools, and you're going to give them the tools.
Yes. Some of the times, one of the things that we help connect parents with is a lot of families do not know that the department offers a step parenting class. And that's free to families. And so we connect families quite often when you have a parent who, you know, they're struggling with their child. We will connect them to the parenting class. One of the great things about our parenting class is that it's trauma focused. So often the parents think that they're learning about how to deal with their children, mm-hmm. but they're actually learning how to deal with their own trauma, which helps them become a better parent to their child. So that is one of the ways that we work with families. All of our staff for the prevention unit are certified in motivational interviewing. So it's a way to talk with the families to help engage them so that they begin to see what change needs to be made and they begin to make the plans for the change. We don't want to go in and just hand them our list mm-hmm. of what we think they should do. We want them to be active participants in planning how their family is going to look when we walk out.
And Felicia, just like you said, because every situation is so different. And just, we were talking off air, Melanie, we were talking about the trauma-informed care, about how sometimes people don't even realize mm-hmm. how it's affected and that they're not able to even, a lot of it will come out over time. This is just such a complex thing. But boy, as you've discussed this, you have a lot of things in place
yes.
to be able to take care of multiple situations.
We make sure that so we know the situation that's brought the family to us, but we work hard to not place judgment on the family for that. Because what sometimes we find out is that some of this is generational trauma, generational poverty, generational lack of education, generational substance use. So when we get to a family and we're finding that out, we've got to help them understand the importance. And then what's interesting is the parent begins to realize how their childhood is impacting them now. Mm-hmm. And that's impacting their child, how they care for their child.
Just hearing you talk, Felicia, if I'm a person who's thinking about and want to become a resource parent, a foster parent, hearing you talk would give me a whole lot of confidence mm-hmm. that I can do this because I have somebody with your prevention team that when I do run into a barrier or some difficulty, I can talk to you and you'll give me ideas or you'll intervene. I'm not doing this by myself.
Right. You know, as Jackie said earlier, you're not doing it they're not doing it by themselves. They're connected to multiple people. But for the prevention unit, our goal is to prevent the child from even being placed in foster care. So when we're working with the families that are in foster care, usually that's because the child has returned home.
Okay.
And just needs a little extra, the family needs a little extra time of oversight and connectivity to the department.
Are you finding that just with the way life is and how difficult it is for all of us to get along these days and with so many things with just the economy, are you finding that as far as the prevention unit is concerned, that you are dealing with more right now because it's harder for all of us?
Yes. We have found recently, unfortunately, we've seen more cases of domestic violence. That seems to be a case that we're dealing with more. And that in itself has so many multiple layers working with that family. For that, but we see the ebb and flow of how the environment impacts families. During COVID, we saw families that had never been connected to DSS before, and how difficult it was for those families to accept that there was a need for them to now be connected to our services. So we see that all the time. Yes.
So it sounds like when there's some kind of a referral or people are you're kind of the first person I'm dealing with. If I've got a situation with my family, and as the prevention team is, you're going to do what you do as far as you can.
Yes. We, like I said, we don't have restrictions on time frame for some of our cases. So we really can look at what we find sometimes is that a family, we think this is the issue when we're going in. And then as we pull back those layers, we're finding out there's new barriers. There's new things that the family needs to work through. But our main objective is, you know, finding out from the family what their dream for their family is, and then helping them reach that goal, but helping them reach it in a way that our primary focus being the safety of the child. That's why we do monthly home visits with the family. If we have a family that has a higher risk of abuse or neglect for the child, sometimes we're in homes once a week to meet with the family, and we're meeting with them as a whole. We meet with families sometimes out in the public, to observe how the family engages with each other, but what the main focus being safety. And when we're in a home, we're evaluating, you know, what's going on in the home. Does the family have electricity? Does the family have water? Does the family have ample food? How are the children looking? Are the children looking clean? Do they appear to have appropriate clothing? What are their needs? And, you know, if we have a family who maybe we've gone into the home for 3 months and visited with the family and things are looking good, and then we go back on the next month and things don't look right, things don't look as they have, then we start to address that need as well and pull back the layers to see what's going on.
Something I want to go back to that you said about safe sleep, because this is one of the most preventable child fatality situations is when parents are sleeping with their kids. And I don't know if people just don't believe us when we say it's dangerous. But if I was a single mom who was living in the basement of, you know, my friend's house and I didn't have money to buy a crib, I could call up the agency and say, hey, can you help me get a crib because I don't want to sleep in the bed with my baby? We can do that.
Yes.
We are happy to go and buy as many cribs as this community needs to prevent people from sleeping with their babies. And there is a lot of couples moving in, you know, to small spaces into homes with family or friends because they can't afford to live on their own.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're sleeping with their kids, you know, on their chairs or something like that. We've got little mini bassinets we can buy. I mean, this is something that I really want the community to hear from us, that just call us. And you don't need an abuse and neglect case. Just say you're in need of a crib and we're going to get you one.
And we have, with our prevention contact calls that we've called families, we have provided bassinets, cribs. Anytime that we contact a family just to check in and see how they're doing, if they have a child under three, we're sending them safe sleep information. Anytime our prevention workers are in the home and there's a child under three, that's one of the first things they're checking at every single visit. And they're talking to the family about it, providing information. In May, we sent out a mailing to all of their prevention clients, all the homes connected to a prevention case, that had information about safe sleep, had information about gun safety, had information about water safety. And we just did that so that it's a way to also let the community know we're just here to support them and help them prevent preventable issues like a sleep-related death of an infant.
That's so interesting that it can be, it doesn't have to be this major thing. It can be, I mean, that's...
Yeah. It could be I'm a single mom and I'm exhausted and I can't keep my eyes open, and I could call up and say, is there any help you can give me? And we would walk through, you know, is there daycare options or is there some in-home services needed?
Lock boxes for substances, families who have medication. You know, children nowadays, you've got those gummy type medications like chewable vitamins.
Right.
Children find them and they think they're candy. We buy lock boxes all the time for families because it's a way to prevent a possible injury to a child.
big or small, you're there to help, even if it's just a small thing can become a big thing. But if you can, take care of the small thing, you might not ever need anything else from social services.
Right. Yep. Gun safes. That's another thing. We've bought families gun safes because, again, families have guns. But how do we make it safe? How can they keep them safe from their children and prevent that injury or harm to a child?
Car seats. We buy car seats. It's another big one.
Yeah.
It is so unfortunate, and Amy, I see this every time you and Melanie come in and we have a topic, but I see it over and over again. It is so, it is tragic that social services is seen by everyone as this is what you do, mm-hmm. when that's just a small part of what you do.
And we have so much good to offer the community. Mm-hmm. And that's why we just want to keep coming back and telling you that's every time a different thing.
That's why I like having you come back, because this is so good. I think, Felicia, I look at you and Jackie, and I look at, you know, the way foster parenting in your office is portrayed in most movies is just not, just as you both talk about the need and how you do things, you don't see that in movies, unfortunately. And again, if I don't know an Amy and a Melanie, I don't know, you know, all of these things. Yeah. It's just unfortunate.
One interesting thing that we've come into multiple times is we've had a family that we're working with in the prevention unit, and the parent or the grandparent connected to the prevention case after the family partnership meeting, or as we've gotten into the case with the family, has come back and said, you know, we were engaged with foster care before. Had we known that there was a prevention? But prevention is such a new part of DSS world. It's been developing over the last 12 years. So families previously didn't know it existed because it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of families don't know about it, and we're trying to get ourselves out into the community to let families know where they are, to do exactly what we are, to prevent their child from going into foster care, prevent their child from being abused or neglected in a way that is safe and partners with them.
Well, you're perfect for it. I mean, you have selected the right thing to do. You have just a great, just as you talk about it in the passion that you have. I need to start lobbying the Board of Supervisors to give this department more money. You guys do great things. We need a quick break and wrap this up, or it'll be a real quick break, and we'll conclude this morning with Spotsylvania Social Services as we talk about resource parenting, foster parenting this morning at News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Amy Swift and Melanie Barrow from Spotsylvania Social Services here, along with Felicia Taylor and Jackie Avery. We talk about resource parenting, foster parenting this morning, and the great needs. That last segment, Felicia, was one of the greatest segments ever in this show's history. It was just so informational, and I think should give people a lot of hope.
Yes.
That the prevention side of foster parenting is really, you're really active in you know, doing what prevention means.
It is exactly what it says. Prevention.
Prevention.
That's our role, is to safely prevent children from entering into foster care or from having abuse or neglect as part of the trauma in their life history. We are there to work with families, connect the families to the resources, connect the families to the services. There are so many services in the community available to them.
And Jackie, Avery, the need, as we talked about at the start of the show, there is such a need right now for foster parents.
There is such a great need. And like it was pointed out, over half of our youth are having to go outside of our community.
Which is just tragic and just complicates things, I guess, even more.
Yes, and they lose their culture, too. You know, when they're not in their community and they have to learn new things, that's a bigger struggle for them and another trauma that, that we try to avoid.
Right, and another thing. So if a person is thinking, I'd like to do this, but I just don't know, I guess it's just sit down and talk to you.
Call us. We're more than happy to talk.
Wow. Once again, Amy, I mean, this is there are such needs in the community. And when you talk about, you know, half of the foster kids are having to, I mean, that's just, that's awful.
Yeah. And ideally, in my perfect world, Ted, this prevention team would be the largest team in our agency. And our foster care team would be the smallest. And that's what we're hoping to do. We want the least amount of children to have to come into care as possible. And we want this program, the prevention team, to be the biggest team serving the community. And we just thank you for letting us get the word out and trying to get the information out to the community.
This is so good. Again, Melanie, there are services, there are things out there that can help. And if whether you want to be the help by being a foster parent or whether you need help, talk to somebody at Social Services. If your office can't help, somebody can.
Yeah, we are a resource to the community. And bottom line, you know, we come into this work because we have a heart to serve. And we want the community to know that we're here. And even if we don't have the resource, we can connect them to another resource. So just call us. We're here.
540-507-7898 if you're interested in becoming part of the foster care program or resource parent and getting involved in all of that. Thank you all for what you do. This is just so enlightening that there are, whether it's the prevention side or just even the whole side of foster care itself, you can really make a difference.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amy Swift, Melanie Barrow, Jackie Avery, and Felicia Taylor here with Spotsylvania Social Services and a resource parenting, foster parenting. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Hi, Katie here with Window World. Have you opened your first big summer energy bill yet? Ouch! Outdated windows let the summer heat pour right in, forcing your cooling system to work twice as hard. Let's stop throwing money out the window. Our windows are designed for energy efficiency, keeping your home comfortable and your wallet happy. Act now to stop the energy drain. Plus, take advantage of 0% financing for 18 months. Call Window World today.
Simply the best for less.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
My best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism.
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs.